18:1-3, by David, God's faithful one, who sang Yahweh, this song the day God saved him from the hand of all his enemies, from the hand of Saul. This is what he sang. I love you, Yahweh, my strength, Yahweh, my mountain crag, my fortress, my rescuer, my God, my rock behind whom I take refuge, my shield, my horn of deliverance, my stronghold, the one whom I praise and to whom I call is Yahweh, and from the enemy I am saved. An expert on the law stood up to put Jesus to the test and said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit everlasting life? Jesus answered, What is written in the law? How do you read it? The expert on the law replied, You must love the Most High God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God in them. Love will come to perfection in us when we can face the day of judgment without fear, because our relation to this world is just like Christ's. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. To fear is to expect punishment, and anyone who is afraid is still imperfect in love. We love because God first loved us. If you say you love God, but you hate your sister or your brother, you are a liar. For you cannot love God, whom you have not seen, if you hate your neighbor, whom you have seen. If we love God, we should love our sisters and brothers as well. We have this commandment from God.
Thank you, Jeff. I first read Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages, which is a New York Times bestseller, right after I was ordained. As an associate pastor, I did not officiate as many weddings as the senior pastor, but once in a while, a couple would request that I marry them. Part of the homework for these four sessions of required premarital counseling was to read The Five Love Languages and to take the quiz at the end of the book so you could see what your own primary love language was. The concept of love languages is relevant whether or not you are in a committed or romantic relationship. Dr. Ross Campbell, a child and adolescent psychiatrist, said the following: Inside every child is an emotional tank waiting to be filled with love. When a child receives love, she or he will develop normally, and when the love tank is empty, the child will misbehave. Much of the misbehavior of children is motivated by the cravings of an empty love tank. Gary Chapman, trained in anthropology and working as a marriage counselor, expanded that love tank metaphor to describe the five emotional love languages that people speak and understand. He believes that each person has one or two primary love languages. This means that when someone expresses love towards them using their primary love language, their tank is filled up and they actually feel loved. If someone is expressing love to them using a language that is not their primary one, it does not have the same effect. The love expressed does not necessarily register in the same way, and that person's love tank may begin to run low. I'm going to briefly introduce us to these five love languages, and then we're going to set about the task of translating this concept into loving God. The first love language is called words of affirmation. Mark Twain once said, I can live for two whole months on a good compliment. King Solomon, in our Hebrew scripture, recorded, the tongue has the power of life and death. Verbal compliments or words of appreciation are powerful communicators of love. A friend showered encouraging words on someone who recently took a risk in writing an article for publication. He said, I just finished reading your words and you are an excellent writer. You write clearly, your words paint pictures that I can visualize, and you have a fascinating style. The friend responded, Do you really think so? He said, I know so. I'm telling you, this is good. Words of encouragement can go a long way. Telling someone that you love them, that you are proud of them, giving them a compliment, being told how important you are, or how much you are appreciated, are all examples of the love language, words of affirmation. You may express your love verbally to someone day in and day out, but if their love language is quality time, your words may have little effect. Quality time is when you give someone your undivided attention, not just being in the same room together or watching TV mindlessly, but sharing quality conversation with eye contact and not multitasking while you try to listen. This includes sharing activities together. The essential ingredients for a quality activity is 1, at least one person wants to do the activity. 2, the other person is willing to do the activity. And 3, both of you know why you are doing it, to express love by being together. This could include going to the movies, sharing about one's day, blocking off a part of the afternoon to do something special together, or going on a trip together. The third love language is that of receiving gifts. A gift is a symbol of the thought that someone remembered you and was thinking about you. Gifts are visual symbols of love and are more important to some people than to others. Some gifts can be expensive, and others may cost no money at all. Gifts can be purchased, found, or made. For those who love surprises and for those who appreciate a physical reminder that they are loved, gifts are one way that someone can fill their tank to the brim. A gift can be as simple as a bird feather picked up during a walk from the car to the house, a handwritten greeting card, or a pizza brought home for dinner. The fourth love language is known as acts of service. For some, actions speak louder than words. The acts of service could include cooking a meal, setting the table, washing dishes, vacuuming, mowing the yard, changing the baby's diaper, keeping a car in operating condition, paying the bills, walking the dog, or even dealing with the insurance company over the phone. Each act requires thought, planning, time, effort, and energy. If done with a positive spirit, these are absolutely expressions of love. Acts of service performed because someone is nagging another to finish them does not fill up the love tank as much as acts done without being asked to do so. Running errands, helping out, and doing the little things can fill one's love tank more than you can imagine. The fifth and final love language is physical touch. Research in child development has proven the impact of positive physical touch over and over. In general, babies who are held, hugged, and kissed develop a higher and healthier emotional life than those left for long periods of time with no physical contact. For some, a loving physical touch makes them feel truly loved. A hug, hello, and goodbye, an arm around the shoulder, holding hands, sitting right next to each other, a kiss on the cheek, or a desired shoulder massage communicates care and affection and can make the other's love tank fill to overflow. The theme for worship today is Be the Church, Love God. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we properly and effectively express love to God? How do we love God this week? On Thursday, Will Goss from Cathedral of Hope and I were driving down 23rd Street to Wilson Elementary to deliver the school supplies that were all piled up here last week. And a man without a shirt was walking down the road, and he raised his hand in what I thought was going to be to wave at us, but then he proceeded to flip us off. How do I best love God in moments like that? On Friday, a Category 4 hurricane blew through Texas, bringing untold damage. The president signed legislation to reinstate a ban on transgender persons serving in the military. And an Arizona sheriff who was convicted of regularly violating the rights of Latinos and racially profiling was pardoned. How do you best love God in the midst of personal and political events of this kind? Do you disregard everything going on in the world and focus on filling up God's love tank? Does God even have a love tank? Do you take a guess at God's primary love language and go all in? Or is that just imagining God in the image of humanity? The book of 1 John that Jeff read to us today describes one of the most beloved and well-known theological concepts of all time. It says, God is love. The first century Christians for whom 1 John was originally written were in conflict about the boundaries of their own community. The question was whether or not they are called to love those outside of their group, those who believe differently than they did. Biblical commentator Judith Jones speaks to the heart of this passage for us today. She says, 1 John shows us that if we love others as God has loved us, there can be no boundaries. God's love, made visible and present in Jesus, is the source for the love we share with others. Jesus ignored the limits that religious communities imposed. He ate and talked with people whom the religious leaders had rejected as heretics, as sinful, as filthy, as despicable. He touched people who were considered untouchable and welcomed people whom everyone else had kicked out. His harshest words were reserved not for the impure, but for the unloving, the self-righteous people who saw some of God's children as beneath their attention, and certainly as unworthy of their love. If Jesus shows us what God's love is like, then there can be no doubt how far our love for others must extend to every single human being. I would add to that our love for others must extend to every portion of God's creation. If God is love, and Jesus modeled for us who we should love, then what is left is for us to practice our love. And according to Jesus, we can most effectively do that by loving our neighbors as ourselves. In my previous congregation, I took the youth to church camp each summer. On the last day of camp, each youth and adult leader would receive a file folder with two holes punched in the side. A piece of yarn was strung through the holes to turn the file folder into a wearable necklace. The file hung from your neck, but rested backwards against the flat surface of your back, and that way everyone could walk around with a pen or a marker and write kind words about you on the file folder resting on your back. You could see who was writing on your file, but you didn't know what they had written until the exercise was over if they left their name beside their comment. People left compliments about character, words of encouragement, telling each other how much they appreciated them or how important you were to that person. Everyone went home feeling a little bit more loved. You can practice your love of God by sharing words of affirmation with your neighbor. When I was a teen, every Sunday night I went to church from 6 to 8 p.m. This was when our middle and high school youth group met. And back then we didn't do anything fancy. Our youth group leaders just showed up each week and spent time with us. We might order pizza, play pool, or sand volleyball, but mostly it was just the simple act of setting aside time to be together each and every week. They greeted us with smiles and took an interest in our lives. The same people invested time from their lives into ours each and every week, and that made all the difference. We felt loved and cared for. We can practice our love of God by spending quality time with our neighbor. In case you didn't already know, I love all things colorful. Throughout my 6 years at my last parish, I would often prepare rituals where children, youth, and adults would write prayers on colorful fabric, and then I would safety pin them together to form a string of prayer flags that would hang in our church hallway or in my office. At home, we hung Tibetan prayer flags from our trees, and the sight of them would give me great peace. On my last Sunday in that congregation, I was presented with a gift that truly symbolized their love and appreciation of me. Each person had written a blessing and signed their name on one piece of a long and colorful prayer flag. It hangs right there. You can see it. It wasn't an expensive gift, but one that showed me the people truly knew who I was, and that made me feel loved. As they presented it to me, I giddily wrapped myself up in the long string of prayers and wore them around my body as a robe of blessings. I keep that prayer flag in my office, and it reminds me of where I have been and who I have been blessed by. We can practice our love of God by giving and receiving gifts with our neighbors. My personal primary love language is acts of service. I can't tell you how loved I feel when other folks set out and clean up communion, when people take out the trash, reset the chairs in the sanctuary, and show up for the all-church workday to declutter the kitchen, redo the bulletin boards, paint the youth room, and tidy the books on our shelves. When I get home, oftentimes Dana has mowed the lawn, put away the dishes, folded the laundry, untangled the knot from one of my necklaces, and threaded the drawstring back through the waistband of my sweatpants. She doesn't do these things because she enjoys them, but in part because she knows my primary love language and wants me to feel loved and appreciated. We can practice our love of God by performing acts of service for our neighbors. In the seventh grade, I started attending a before school prayer group that happened in the shop teacher, Mr. Chandler's classroom. Looking back, I can see that Mr. Chandler was a man in his 60s who reminded me of a cross between the Buddha and Santa Claus. Selfless love emanated from his face. He didn't organize the prayer group, the ninth graders did, but he allowed them to meet in his classroom. Seventh grade was rough. Puberty erupted all around me. Acne had taken over my face. My friends were starting to have boyfriends, and I was more self-conscious and felt unlovable more than ever before. Mr. Chandler would stand near the door after prayer group as we left to go to class. He'd be there beaming his smile, high-fiving or side-hugging anyone who approached him for a goodbye. Physically, I felt repulsive. But getting that high five or side hug every day, Monday through Friday, was the one moment that I felt deeply accepted and loved by someone who represented God to me. We can practice our love of God by sharing appropriate physical touch with our neighbors. Later today and this week, I would challenge us to think about what our own love language is and those around us. Can you guess the love language of a family member, of your employer, your neighbor, even your enemy? In the end, we learn that to love God is to show love to God's creation, to find a way to fill the tanks of those displaced by the hurricane, to fill the love tank of the passerby who flipped us off, of the couple preparing for marriage, of the misbehaving child, of the misbehaving adult, and especially of those outside the boundaries of our own community. Be the church, love God, may it be so. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for prayer.